It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, a News Buzz edition of our program on this Friday, as we like to do. Joining us next, Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
We want to get a week's end update from you. A lot of things going on in the legislature as we look, well, in the coming weeks toward the end of the session. Can I ask you first about settlements? Update us on the story of that has had this week, for instance, the firing of Mike Carroll, the head of the state's administrative department. What's been happening?
Well, this is the situation where a number of workers were laid off. They were offered confidential settlements, which is not at all unusual in the private sector and which does predate the Branstad administration. But some of them were also offered money in exchange for keeping their settlements confidential. Mike Carroll misled the governor on that, and the governor fired him. But it's not at all the end of the saga. The Oversight Committee is continuing its investigation. Two other officials at the Department of Administrative Services were scheduled to testify. They canceled, and then there was talk of subpoenaing them. But by the end of the week, the governor's office had assured lawmakers that the officials would appear next week.
So this investigation continues to move forward?
It does. This Oversight Committee is a joint House-Senate committee. They take turns setting the meetings, and so a meeting on Monday was set by the Senate. They want to hear from these two other top officials at DAS. And then later in the week, there will be a meeting set by the House Republicans setting the agenda. And they haven't said yet who they're going to invite.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your sense of whether Democrats will keep pushing to make this an issue or whether this sort of momentum on this story will die?
I think they'll keep it going. We have not avoided saying that this is that there's some politics involved as far as Senator Hatch running for governor. But there are also legitimate concerns, and so I don't see the Oversight Committee backing off.
Preschool, the Democrats' preschool bill in the Senate, did that pop up just recently?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Democrats named that as a priority at the very beginning of the session, Senate Democrats. And so now they actually have a bill out there passed a Senate committee to expand 4-year-old preschool. I don't expect that to go anywhere.
Reaction from Republicans has been
very cool. And Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstall said he made the statement earlier in the session that he doesn't advance legislation unless he can see a path toward final passage. But I think this might be an exception. And we should know that it hasn't passed the full Senate yet. But it was interesting at the subcommittee meeting hearing from school officials about some of the difficulties of accommodating a whole new group of kids, 4-year-olds. I should stress that the current program is voluntary and it would remain voluntary. But officials say the vast majority of Iowa school districts have started preschool programs subsidized by the state.
Mm-hmm. Another issue that has had developments, funding for the three state universities. There was an assurance to the Board of Regents, wasn't there, that there would be about a 4% funding increase so there could be a tuition freeze? What's happened there?
Well, you know, we should make clear that it was always up to the legislature to approve or not approve a 4% increase to the universities so they can enact a tuition freeze. The Board of Regents asked for that. The governor put it in his budget. It's in the bill that the Senate passed. And now, as you're referring to, House Republicans have gone along with 4% increases for UNI and ISU, but only a 2.1% increase for the University of Iowa. At the same time, their bill mandates a tuition freeze. So Republicans are on record supporting a tuition freeze, even though they're on record as not coming through with the money that the regents said they would need. That's not going to pass the Senate, but I guess it's possible that this whole thing could fall apart. I mean, I've been saying that it would be politically difficult for either party not to go along with the tuition freeze now that it's gotten so much publicity. But I guess there's some political cover for Republicans who can say, look, we voted for a tuition freeze.
Joyce, in the minute or so we have remaining, talk a little bit about the sort of wheeling and dealing, the horse trading going on now in the final week or two of the legislature. What is going on in those regards?
Well, maybe not horse trading, but dog trading.
There are dog tracks.
There
right?
are still yeah. talks going on between the casinos and the greyhound breeders about getting rid of greyhound racing. And the two sides even put out a statement this week saying, we're still talking. And lawmakers are just waiting to see what they come up with. There are also still discussions going on with the big telecommunications companies about where they can put cell phone towers. That's become part of the discussion on the governor's bill to expand broadband in the state.
Okay. Any guesses? What's your best guess on when our session will be ending?
Well, the per diem ends on April 22nd. That's a week from Tuesday. And if they were close, say, next week, they could conceivably work into the weekend to finish up, which they've done sometimes in the past. But with the Easter weekend, that's not likely. And also, once they start a week, sometimes there's a momentum to keep going all week. I should say there were some years when we used to take bets about adjournment. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say Thursday, April 24th.
Okay. We'll try to hold you to that, and maybe you will get it right. Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent, thanks for the update.
Thank you, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, a News Buzz edition. Elwyn Taylor joins us. It's been a week when it seems finally shaken off Old Man Winter. Elwyn Taylor, agronomist at Iowa State University and Iowa State University Extension climatologist. Hi, Elwyn.
Well, good afternoon. And yes, maybe we do have winter past us, but we can't be sure of that. We remember last year when we had record snow in May.
Gorgeous spring day today. Perhaps a rainy weekend gives us a chance to talk a little bit about soil moisture as the planting season approaches. What can you say there?
This has a history behind it. Things went dry across the state of Iowa and most of our neighbors in July of our past year. And there are a few places that have caught back up to normal for the water in the soil. The rooting depth of plants, about the top 5 feet of our soil, can hold about 10 inches of plant available water. That's at 5 or 6 in about half of the state and near the 10 in about half the state. Unfortunately, these are scattered locations. However, we do have a dry condition in the southeast and the extreme southwest portion of the state. And the southeast is likely to correct with this precipitation that you were mentioning, that will be coming over the next few days. And that will leave the northwest on the dry side of usual. Yes, that does give us a risk for the crop season as we're coming into it, but there is some indication that we may have our soil moisture back up to normal by planting time, at least in 2/3 of the state, and I think that is good news.
Mm-hmm. When we look at soil moisture, tell us, those of us who are not farmers or acquainted with this, what is ideal for soil moisture and soil temperature, I guess, we have to think of as the soil is warming?
Yes, just looking at the soil temperatures on our new soil moisture temperature weather stations that we have across the state and are increasing in numbers almost weekly now, their soil is still frozen in the western, northwestern portion of the state of Iowa at the 2-foot depth. However, down to more than a foot, the frost is out of the soil, and down at the 3, 4, and 5 foot depth, there is no frost. It has come out from the bottom because of the warmth in the deep soil. We anticipate that the frost will be out of the soil within the next week to week and a half statewide, even though we're anticipating cooler than seasonable weather during the next 2-week period, and perhaps the precipitation being above normal, at least in the eastern portion of the state. We do anticipate that we will have above normal precipitation, slightly above normal, moving into eastern Nebraska to Illinois, including Iowa, as we get closer to planting time, in that the precipitation has moved from dry to near normal in Louisiana, Arkansas, and southern Missouri. That weather pattern will be moving north as the days get longer.
We have about a minute or so left. Elwyn, finally, what can you tell us about the sort of big picture global weather patterns? I love when you talk about this, the weather patterns on around the world that may tell us more about the type of spring and summer we're likely to have.
This has been the frustration for the National Weather Service this year. They've been very hesitant to say anything definitive about what the summer forecast would be for either temperature or precipitation, especially precipitation, in that we do not have a La Nina, nor do we have a El Nino. And these are the two big effects from down near the equator that have a almost planetary influence on weather, at least between the Arctic and Antarctic circles.
When we don't have either of those, that means what?
That means neutral, and we don't know what's going to happen, or we wait and see, and we more We get by with 10 and 12-day forecasts rather than 30-day ones and 60-day ones that are possible when we have an El Nino or a La Nina. Speaking of that, new information out that of the 4 years that were like this in the past, 3 of them by September had moved to the favorable condition for the Midwest of El Nino.
Okay.
And the leader in this, Dr. Volter, out in Colorado, says expect it may come a little early.
Elwin Taylor, agronomist at Iowa State University, also University Extension climatologist. Always nice to chat with you, Elwin. Thanks. And when we come back, a conversation I had with Richard Dawkins back in 2009, the acclaimed evolutionary biologist, is scheduled to speak in Des Moines at Hoyt Sherman Place this Saturday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon. So when we come back, a conversation I had with him back in 2009. That's when we continue. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.